2 Samuel chapter 12. Now in chapter 11, we've read about David's sin with Bathsheba. And even worse, he got her husband Uriah killed, who'd been one of his faithful soldiers. And chapter 11 finished with the statement, "But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord." So there was a period of time, could have been a year or more, when God apparently didn't notice. But God did notice. And so we might do wrong things, or people may do wrong things to us, and it seems that God is not listening. But in fact, he does. And he is noticing, although he doesn't act immediately. So the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, "There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor." Now this is a parable that's talking about David and Uriah. So the two men are David and Uriah in one city, that's Jerusalem, and one's rich and the other's poor. The rich man had many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing apart from one little ewe lamb, which he bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was to him as a daughter. So the rich man is David. He had many wives, but Uriah had only one wife, Bathsheba. And there came a traveller to the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the visitor that was come to him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man that's done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity." And Nathan said to David, "You are the man." So, in this parable, the visitor who comes to David, I think that's God's way of saying that David's behavior was not normal for David. This was not in character with David, but all the same, he did it. It's like Moses when he strikes the rock instead of speaking to it. And he speaks wrongly to Israel. This wasn't maybe typical of Moses, but sin is still sin, even if it's not typical of us. So Nathan says to David, "Well, you are this man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel. I saved you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house," that's Saul's house, "and your master's wives I gave you. And I gave you the house of Israel and Judah, and if that had been too little, I would have given you such and such things. Why then did you despise the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You've killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword and have taken his wife to be your wife, and you killed him with the sword of the children of Ammon." So it's no good David saying, "Well, I didn't kill Uriah, he got killed in the battle." God sees through all petty scheming and all little plans of man to kind of excuse his misbehavior. "Now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against you out of your own family, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them unto your neighbor, and he will lie with your wives in the sight of the sun. You did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, "The Lord also has put away your sin. You will not die." Well, it's easy to think that David just said, I did do wrong, whoopsie. But when you put all the Bible together and you read the Psalms, you see how he talks about his struggles, how he really struggled and how he was so terribly sorry, because the punishment for despising God's word, the sin of presumption and of murder, which is what he'd effectively done, the punishment for that really was death. And yet he was saved by grace, because he should have died. And as he says, "There was no sacrifice for me to offer. I just had to throw myself on God's grace." And in the New Testament, Paul says that David, in this sense, is every man, is each of us. Because we've all sinned, and the wages of sin is death. and there's no real sacrifice to take away what we've done, that is, in the sense of some animal you can kill. The only way is to identify with Jesus in faith, and through grace, we will be forgiven. But God goes on, however, because by this you've given great opportunities to the Lord's enemies to blaspheme, the child that's born of you will surely die. Nathan went to his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife had borne unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore begged God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. So he knew God well enough to know that there was the possibility that God might change his position on this. Just like Moses prayed to God not to destroy Israel when God said he would. The elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, because he refused to eat bread with them. On the seventh day the child died, and the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, "Look, while the child was still alive, we spoke to him, and he would not listen to our voice, and how is he going to vex himself when we tell him the child is dead?" But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said to his servants, "Is the child dead?" And they said, "He is dead." Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself, changed his clothes, came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. So he worshipped. In the face of huge tragedy, he worshipped. And you think of Job, he did that. When he lost all these things, he still worshipped before God. And this is why faith in God means actually to trust God. That even when bad things happen, we trust him. That in the end, he means to do us good in our latter end. Then David's servant said to him, "What is this that you're doing? You fasted and wept for the child while it was still alive. When the child died, you rise up and eat bread." He said, "While the child was alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, 'Who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live?' But now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." David comforted Bathsheba his wife, and went in unto her, and she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. And he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and he called his name Jedidiah, because of the Lord. Joab fought against Rabbah of the Ammonites and took the royal city. And Joab sent messengers to David and said, "I fought against Rabbah and have taken the city of waters. Now therefore gather the rest of the people together and camp against the city and take it, lest I take the city and it be called after my name." Well, that was very humble of Joab, really. He really did want to see David honoured and rather than himself, especially after what David had done. And Joab knew exactly what David had done. So David gathered all the people together, went to Rabbah and fought against it and took it. And he took their king's crown from off his head, the weight of which was a talent of gold with the precious stones, and it was set on David's head. And he brought forth the spoil of the city in great abundance. So you can see that it's simply not so that if you sin, if you're naughty, as it were, then you get some sort of curse from God, and if you're good, then you get lots of blessings. It doesn't quite work like that, because David's given a victory straight after he sinned. You think of Isaac going to Egypt and lying about his wife. And then when he comes out of Egypt, we're told he was very rich and very blessed with material things. So it's a bit more subtle than that, a bit more complicated, that God doesn't just bless people because they're righteous, and he doesn't just bring difficulty in your life because you've sinned. It's not quite like that.